Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the political cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, March 10th, and I'm back in the saddle for the full 3 hours tonight after coming in here on two wheels last week. And it's great to be here at AM 1380 WLRM Radio, downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. And, of course, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where you can catch the live stream, the archived shows, both past and, present. I don't know about future yet, but we're working on it. Anyway, if you can hear my voice, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to join us right now in the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party hosted once again this week by our partners at the Council of Conservative Citizens. Come on over. If you hear my voice, let me draw you near. Go to cfcc.org. That's the link. You can come right on into the chat and join in great conversation with other friends and fans and family of the program. Or you can just go to the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, click on the top link on the blog roll, and come right on in. Keith, it's been a great week, as you know. A great show last week, I might add. And again, I know I posted it onto the blog, but I must give credit where credit is due, and I think I speak for the entire cesspool listening audience when I say this, but you and Bill Rowland did an absolutely outstanding job, magnificent job, in managing the program last week in my absence. I tell you, I'm hard-pressed to come to work tonight, knowing how good it is when I'm gone, but seriously, my friend, you and Bill, outstanding work on the show. And, you know, I'm a technophobe. I'm a nonconformist, but I did get a set of speakers this week for my home computer. I've previously listened to the show with this internal speaker system that's in my computer. But now that I've actually got speakers, I didn't know how good we sounded. I actually was able to listen to a program, and I listened to last week's show that you and Bill did, without any sort of problems. I listened to it at full volume. It made it even better. But all around a great show, Keith, from my heart to yours, my friend.
I tell you what, and you say I'm the old-fashioned one. I tell you, I think you're going to use an old hand-crank phone next or something. But, I'm glad you finally got speakers in here. I couldn't believe it when I came into the studio tonight. Let me tell you, we've got a great article that we're going to feature for most of this hour. It was featured on the Cesspool blog this week. And tell them all about it, James.
Yeah, we got an article. It's actually our top article if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. And we're going to spend the bulk of tonight's first hour covering it. It's entitled A Meta Strategy for White Advocacy. And it really gives you some good practical advice for application when you're going out and just doing your daily routine, how you can stand up and be a voice for our people. And it breaks down some of the flaws that our people have and how we can navigate around them. Keith has read this. He was moved by it. I was moved by it. If you want to read it for yourself, just go to our website. It's there at the top of the blog roll. But we're going to break it down. Keith's going to tell you what it's all about, and he's going to draw some parallels with the living embodiment of white guilt, and that's something, of course, that this article tackles. I really think you're in for an entertaining and informative first hour, indeed an entire show of information and entertainment coming up later on in the broadcast tonight. We've got a couple of great guests, but of course, Keith, you know, as pumped up as I was about the show that you and Bill brought to the audience last week, my enthusiasm was tempered by the untimely death of Davy Jones, whose signature adorns our broadcast studio here in downtown Memphis. I guess it appreciated in value, unfortunately, over the course of the last week. But in all seriousness, that was a blow. You know, I liked his music. I've met the man. I got a picture of me and Davy together on the website. And we're going to do a tribute to Davy Jones tonight before the sand falls from the hourglass, before we run out of time this evening. All that and more forthcoming. Keith, before we get back to the meta strategy for white advocacy and get down to brass tacks, you want to say a word for Davy Jones? I know you're not going to be here later on tonight when we do the salute.
Well, Davy Jones was a closet fan of our show. You know, that's what we he's not knowing I'm not Davy Jones. He really did pass away, but he was a great guy. He apparently got along with everybody. He was not a stuck-up person at all. He was a great talent. He was very fortunate to get in that prefab band called the Monkees, but the Monkees had some great music. You know, let's give credit where credit is due. And quite frankly, the 60s were a better world than the 70s. The 50s were a better world than the 60s. And America has been in a constant state of decline, and it's nostalgic therapy for us here at the Cesspool to listen to this old music, because the modern stuff unfortunately reminds us of how far we've fallen as a nation and as a civilization. You know, America's in decline, and it's nice to remember back when America was at the top of the heap. We weren't the descending world power, and China wasn't the ascending world power. We won the Cold War, but then seeds of our own destruction were planted within us by liberalism, and that's the reason, first and foremost, why we're in decline. And Davy and the Monkees and the bands from that era, one, the music was melodic, two, it was understandable, three, there were lines that weren't crossed back then. And of course, you know, Davy Jones was liked by anyone who, you know, if you didn't like Davy Jones, there's probably something wrong with you. So our hats off to Davy Jones and the Monkees and all those other groups from back in those days. You know, there were a few that were subversive and bad, but not many. And we want to give credit where credit is due to Davy Jones. And we are very saddened by his passing, and our best wishes go out to his family and friends.
You might have thought that was the tribute, but it wasn't. We actually have the tribute to Davy Jones coming back. And again, folks, had the chance to meet him a couple of times, as a fact. And Keith, I see you looking at it right now, signed in bronze ink, no less. To the political cesspool, all the best. Davy Jones has the date there, along with many other of our prized possessions here in TPC. I'll tell you, if the political cesspool has done one thing for me, it's allowed me to, it's opened doors into the world of oldies music for me. But yeah, you know, I was traveling last week, and again, I don't have one of these phones that I can get the news on, that gives me a shower, that can shave for me and all this other stuff. I have a phone that actually is just used for phone calls and text messaging, and that's all I've got. So I actually had someone call me to tell me that Davy had passed away. And I was out of town, and it kind of brought down the mood. But anyway, folks, you're not going to want to miss that. I think that's really going to be a highlight of the show, because we're going to play a live version of one of the Monkees' biggest hits. And we're also going to cover politics tonight, believe it or not. That's not going to be the only thing we do. We're going to cover politics. We're going to cover a lot of issues that we've been covering on the blog. Rush Limbaugh's in very hot water. We're going to tell you why and tell you how serious it is. I mean, he's lost now, Keith, over 40 sponsors. The political cesspool doesn't have 40 sponsors in 8 years. He's lost 40 in a week. All right. We're going to talk about, well, just go to our blog. You'll see it all there.
Don't go away.
Of course, our biggest thing, though, coming up right after this break, a meta strategy for white advocacy. And we're going to break down that article, and Keith's going to take the wheel and drive us with reckless abandon right after these words. Stay tuned, folks. You're not going to want to miss it.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards and Keith Alexander here in studio with you tonight as we go out to a worldwide broadcast audience. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, once again to join us now in the Council of Conservative Citizens Political Cesspool virtual fan party and online chat. All you got to do is cfcc.org for the Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org. Join in conversation and fellowship with other fans of the show. And now, Keith, the main event for this first hour, at least, a meta strategy for white advocacy. It's a feature article that we found and posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We encourage everyone to check it out for themselves. But for the less ambitious of our listenership, Keith, break down succinctly what the article is about and why you were so moved by it.
Well, I was interested by it. Let me just tell you why. Most of the time on this radio program, we focus on what has happened to us, who's doing this to us, and why is it happening, okay? Now, in addition, people like Alanna Mercer and Paul Gottfried have another tack that, although we don't think that it's really fair, it, you know, does have a point. They do have a point, and that point is that white Gentiles seem to have a peculiar susceptibility to allowing themselves, for example, to be guilt-tripped into turning over the reins of government in places like Zimbabwe, in South Africa, and in American cities, politically. For example, whites in America under the Voting Rights Act work assiduously to create these crazily gerrymandered voting districts that assure the election of a black representative. Can you see black or Asian or Hispanic people doing something like that? As they say in the modern parlance, what's up with that? Well, this meta-strategy article looks into that and thinks that they've come up with an answer. And the key to it is what they call PDPs. PDPs is an acronym for public displays of piety. Now, that is a manifestation that we have here in America and in throughout all the white world that seems to have developed only in the last 50 years. And just like Memphis, Tennessee is the birthplace of rock and roll, arguably the birthplace of the blues, the home of Elvis Presley, and a lot of the cultural change and currents that we complain about on this show and try to counteract, likewise, Memphis seems to be the epicenter of PDPs in America now. What are public displays of piety? Well, The Blind Side is a perfect example of a public display of piety. This is where a couple of gonzo sports fanatics who wanted to get black athletes who they, through propagandizing, have assumed are the superior athletic talent in America, they wanted them playing for their favorite teams, Briarcrest Christian School and the University of Mississippi, commonly known as Ole Miss. And they had a problem. There were some rules, TSSAA rules, that's Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association rules, and NCAA, National Collegiate Athletic Association rules, that prevented them from doing what it took to get this black kid to go to their favorite schools. Basically, when you're dealing with these black athletes, you better come with plenty of money. You better be able to improve their lot in life, or as they say in the ghetto here in Memphis, they ain't studying you. So consequently, what the Tuohy family, Sean Tuohy and his wife, Leanne Tuohy, did was they skirted a rule that said that if a kid goes to a private school in Tennessee, that private school tuition has to be paid by his parents or by some close relative like granddad, grandma, Uncle Buck, Auntie Mame, somebody like this. It can't be paid by a perfect stranger, and if it is, well, he can attend the school, he just can't play football or basketball. This rule was passed at the behest not of Klansmen, but of black public school coaches that didn't want to see their best players cherry-picked out from under them by these private schools and by Daddy Bongo Buck's cats like Sean and Leanne Tuohy. So being the type of alpha people that don't like to accept no for an answer, the Tuohys decided they'd show them they would go ahead and adopt Michael Orr. Then he would be their child. They would be parents. Then they could do everything for them that a gonzo sports fanatic wanted to do for a prize recruit. They could give him an allowance. They could give him a car. They could give him a new wardrobe. They could have him live in luxurious circumstances in their own home if they wanted to, or they could set him up in a little apartment. But as parents, there was no end to what they could do. So they basically picked the lock that the TSSAA tried to set to prevent this type of abuse. It's called brinksmanship, pushing the envelope. Well, they were caught with their hands in the cookie jar by the NCAA, and caught in that situation, they made a remarkable pivot. They said, we're not gonzo sports fanatics. We're not out-of-control sports boosters. What we actually are civil rights heroes. We're doing this all to improve the lot of this poor, disadvantaged black kid. And that trope took off, became a best-selling novel, then a Academy Award-winning movie, all featuring the Tuohys and what they were doing in what became, I guess, one of the premier public displays of piety of white people helping non-white people in America. And, of course, success spawns imitation. They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So the Tuohys were on to something, and other people have jumped on. Let's look at some other examples here in Memphis, which is the breeding ground of PDPs. First, Nina Talos flop in front of black people at the former Claiborne Temple in Memphis. It was featured in our article United We Stand on August 1st, which got about as much buzz as any article that we've ever written. That's what happened there. Okay, then we have this recent movie called The Undefeated, which won an Academy Award for the best documentary film. And it features another white guy who is gone into the ghetto to do good deeds, a guy named Bill Courtney, the owner of Classic Hardwoods, which is located in North Memphis. And, of course, he goes to Manassas High School, a historically black high school, which is still, despite integration, almost 100% black in North Memphis in a depressed area. And he lent his talents as a football coach to them and led them to an undefeated season. And this tale was so inspiringly told in this documentary that it moved Sean P. Diddy Combs to tears. And he is now heading up an effort to make a dramatized version of this, starring Hollywood actors and actresses, into a feature-length Hollywood film produced by none other than Weinstein Producers Movies. So, you know, again, the usual suspects are at work in this. Now, you've got Nina Taylor, you've got the Two E's, you've got The Undefeated. And there was one other that I had, and I'm trying to remember that. I'll probably remember it later on in the show. But basically, Memphis seems to be the epicenter of this, just like it was with rock and roll and the blues. Now, what is the significance of all this? Why are we pointing this out? Why do we think this article merits most of a show? You're going to find out in the next two segments after these words from our sponsors.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned, and while you're at it, join us in the rapidly a chat room that's rapidly filling up to the brim. I guess all the nice weather around the country delayed some of the usual suspects, but it's starting to get crowded there at cfcc.org, the online chat for the Political Cesspool Virtual Fan Party. And when we come back, as Keith said, we're going to continue to talk about this epic article posted to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, a meta-strategy for white advocacy, not just giving you problems, but giving you solutions and practical advice tonight in the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, lighthouseliterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, live broadcast for Saturday, March 10th. We're partying it up right now at CFCC.org, the online chat. And Keith, of course, for the entirety of this first hour, we're talking about the epic piece that delivers a lot of practical advice. It seems as though so oftentimes, not just this show, but the paleoconservative movement in general is long on problems but short on practical advice. We're trying to reverse that trend at least for an hour this evening as we talk about a meta-strategy for white advocacy. And one of the things that this article identifies is that people look for three different things in life: wealth, power, and beauty. Those are the things people strive to have. Whites have a fourth thing that they strive for, that is social status. And that gets into, oddly enough, how it's achieved for whites in a politically correct society through public displays of piety. And, of course, in order to gain social status, if you're white, you must bow a knee to the false god of political correctness. You must bend the knee to multiculturalism. The article goes on from there, but it doesn't just identify this weakness that whites have, gaining social status through the sacrifice of their own people. It shows you not only how you can avoid that behavior, but effectively oppose others to engage in it, Keith.
Right. What this article says is that basically all people try to optimize three things in life, and those things are wealth, power, and beauty. For whites, we can add a fourth good, social status, oddly achieved through public displays of piety, PDPs, towards the religion of the time, multiculturalism. While most of the world awards social status mostly on the basis of wealth, power, and beauty, whites have developed a competing system that awards social status based on achieving and then deprecating those goods through PDPs. Once upon a time, the deprecation of these goods for a social status based on morality was a positive for Western civilization. Now that personal morality has been replaced by the religion of multiculturalism, the resulting system is more destructive than purely materialistic awards of social merit. Generally, much of the insanity demonstrated by whites is explained by pivots from a real good, wealth, power, and beauty being the legitimate goods or blessings of God, if gained in accordance with the law, to the false god, PDPs, which are manifestations of pride dressed up as religious or quasi-religious do-gooding. In addition, there is significant hostility towards whites who pursue any real good too eagerly at the expense of social status. Let's review each category and the white behavior towards each, okay? And then he breaks it down. But basically what this author is talking about is that we are, as whites, as white Gentiles, are peculiarly susceptible to a particular malady, just as blacks are peculiarly susceptible among all races to sickle cell anemia. Whites are peculiarly susceptible to this altruistic empathy and sympathy with people that aren't members of our own race. No other race suffers from this malady. When is the last time you've seen black people sacrificing for whites, Asians for blacks or Hispanics or whites, all of that, okay? We're unique. As Winston Smith has often said on this show, at any moment of any day or night that you care to choose, somewhere on this wide world that we live in, the globe called planet Earth, there is a group of white people somewhere wringing their hands, worrying and scheming about what they can do to improve the lot of non-whites, be it blacks, Asians, Hispanics, whatever, usually all three at the same time in multitudinous groups of whites doing this. At the same time, he said, at any time of the day or night of any day, any month, any year, there are absolutely zero groups of blacks, Asians, Hispanics, Jews, you name it, worried about what they can do to improve the lot in life of white Gentiles. This is a truth that I think escapes a lot of us. We are unique, and we have been hoodwinked, and we have been manipulated. The left has found a chink in our armor. You know, cultural Marxism is supposed to be a blending of Marx and Freud, and the Freudian aspects are really the key. That's how they got past our defenses. And one thing that this article points out is that for the longest time, the last holdouts to political correctness and to liberalism in America was the Scots-Irish population, particularly located in the south of the United States. And he points out to Texas, where because of oil wealth, you had this phenomenon of a lot of white Scots-Irish people getting wealthy. And this, of course, annoyed non-Scots-Irish white Southerners, particularly the Jews that are in charge of Hollywood, no end. They even made a television show to ridicule this called The Beverly Hillbillies. You know, just think about this. How did the Beverly Hillbillies get their money? Well, they're such stupid goyim that the patriarch was out shooting at a possum or something like this, or a raccoon, and his bullet missed, went in the ground, and oil started bubbling up. See, there's no way that these stupid cattle-like goyim could have come up with a plan to get rich any other way. That's one of the messages of the Beverly Hillbillies. The other thing is, they blended it with a Jewish trope. I can't see anybody from Red State America, and particularly from the South of 1964 or 3 or whenever it was that the Beverly Hillbillies first was introduced to the viewing audiences of the United States. I can't see any family that struck it rich, let's say in the hills of Tennessee or somewhere else like that, picking up the family and moving to Beverly Hills. That's the type of thing that a Jewish group of parvenus, a family of parvenus in New York, Long Island, Cleveland, Ohio, Sandusky, Illinois, wherever, would do. But see, they kind of created this hybrid and had the Beverly Hillbillies move to Hollywood, where they were trying to blend in with the larger society. And the hilarity of this group trying to blend in was the basic gag repeated over and over in various permutations throughout the program and it's in the series. Now, that's something that we need to really kind of focus on. What is happening is that now Scots-Irish Southern Protestants are not only not lagging behind, they are leading the way. Most of these PDPs that we're talking about, public displays of piety, some of the most significant, some of the most attention-grabbing and headline-grabbing, are all focused with Southern Scots-Irish Protestants, people like the Tuohys. Now, Tuohy may be an Irish name or it may be a French name, but what about, you know, the wife, Leanne Collins, that's Scots-Irish to the core. Bill Courtney, the businessman who coached the black football team in the undefeated, definitely Scots-Irish. Likewise, Nina Talo, Memphis socialite. Now, she's obviously Scots-Irish descent, blended with a little English too. this type of phenomenon now, going from, we've pulled up in the pack of the Kentucky Derby, apparently. We were behind, now going into the clubhouse turn where we're about to end Western civilization in America as we know it. You see Scots Irish leading the pace. We're the pace car now. We're going, we're ahead of everyone else with this. How did that happen? Well, it happened through cultural Marxism. Now, what do we do? The big problem is that our leaders, our elites, are the primary people that have embraced this PDP theory. They are more than willing to throw you and your children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren, under the bus, along with their opportunities in life, to deal them out to minorities so that they can be, win this status contest that they're running with other white elites. Now, how do we stop this? How can we counter this? Because, quite frankly, if we don't have our own white Gentile elites on our side, it's hopeless. You know, blacks wouldn't tolerate this. If you had black elites that were trying to throw the black masses under the bus, they would be, you know, castigated. They would be driven out of polite society. But that's not happening with us, and it needs to. We'll get back to this after these messages from our sponsor.
Don't go away, the political cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place.
Girl, there's a better life for me. America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked. As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up, America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
The establishment called him extreme and unelectable. They said he was the wrong man for the job. It's why a young Texan named Ron Paul was one of only four congressmen to endorse Ronald Reagan's campaign for president, believing in Reagan's message of smaller government and lower taxes. After Reagan, Senator Al Gore ran for president, pledging to raise taxes and increase spending, pushing his liberal values. And Al Gore found a cheerleader in Texas named Rick Perry. Rick Perry helped lead Al Gore's campaign to undo the Reagan Revolution, fighting to elect Al Gore president of the United States. Now, America must decide who to trust, Al Gore's Texas cheerleader or the one who stood with Reagan. Restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of The Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Amazingly enough, we're already at the final segment of the first hour, but don't worry, everybody. Still 2 hours forthcoming tonight and a lot of ground to cover before the show is over this evening. But getting back to what has been the primary and only focus of the first hour is our featured article at thepoliticalcesspool.org this evening, a meta strategy for white advocacy. Now, when you go all the way down to the bottom, in order to combat the elites who are selling us out and those who practice these PDPs so often, you can either point them out as, number one, a hypocrite, because most of the people pushing diversity on the rest of us live within the gated confines of their own communities, lily-white communities, or you can point them out as being stupid and reckless, which certainly they would be if you find that diamond in the rough that is a true believer who does send their kids to public schools and who does live in the inner city to show how subservient they are to multiculturalism. Either one of those, whether you point them out to be a hypocrite or moron, would diminish their social status, and that's, of course, why they are engaging in these PDPs in the first place, Keith.
And, of course, that's what we always do here at the Political Cesspool. If you will read our article, United in Prayer, from August 1st of 2011, if you read our article about fracas at the farmer's market, if you read The Importance of Columbus Day that we wrote right before Columbus Day, and so many others, United in Prayer Part 2, you will see that we are primarily in the business of mocking these plaster saints who are doing these PDPs in order to catch bouquets and to read wonderful articles about themselves in the local newspaper, listen to wonderful newscasts both on television and radio about themselves. They're doing this because it pays off. See, Bill Courtney, the guy from The Undefeated, probably sends his kids to a private school in the Memphis area, if he has some, and they will be attending. They're not going to Manassas High School. He's not moved his family into the Manassas High School area. And if he did, and there are some crazy enough in Memphis to do that, if you will read our article about United in Prayer Part 2, but some of those people are having things turn out very badly for them. We need to point out the hypocrisy of these people. You know, they talk the talk but don't walk the walk. Like, the Tuohys live in the most exclusive part of Memphis. They're not having any Section 8 housing projects put in near them. They're not having these people displaced by the Hope 6 project, where they are shutting down the old public housing projects in Memphis, building these so-called mixed-use places for the benefit of black people, because white people certainly aren't going to move into the inner city, and then moving the denizens of public housing out to these apartment complexes that get flipped to Section 8. They're not doing that in the Tuohys neighborhood. They're not doing it in Bill Courtney's neighborhood. They're not doing it in Sandy Wilson's neighborhood. They're not doing it in Nina Talo's neighborhood. Yeah, and Nina Talo is a United in Prayer person. Bill Courtney is the Undefeated guy, and the Tuohys, Sean and Leanne, are the Blindside people. They're just convenient people that we can point to for PDPs. What's happening with PDPs? What's going on here? Well, basically, it's throwing working class and middle class whites under the bus so that white elites, white wealthy people, can compete among each other with how holy and righteous they are. Of course, their kids are still getting into selective colleges and universities. You know, you can get into Vanderbilt, like two people that I know of that went, whose kids went to a private school where my kids attended, by donating a $10 million library to Vanderbilt University, for example, and get two kids that were in the bottom quintile of the class of their private school graduating class into Vanderbilt, where other kids who don't have those type of connections can be in the first or second quintile, and they can be shut out flat as a flounder. There's no way they're getting in. See, this is what is happening. This is what affirmative action does. Affirmative action hopefully is going to be ruled to be totally unconstitutional under the 14th and 15th Amendments by the Supreme Court in the upcoming Fisher versus University of Texas case. And they're going to use the whole apparatus of the state, including things like the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the EEOC, to punish racial discrimination, which primarily is anti-white racial discrimination now. But in the and if they don't, then private attorneys need to be jumping on this and filing Title VII suits against Vanderbilt University, against the city of Memphis for having special set-asides for minority contractors, every other government around this country, and you got to make them pay. Get after them. Just like on this PDPs, we need to ridicule these people. We need to hoot them down. We need to write articles showing that they're hypocrites. And basically, this is going to be in their own best interests, ultimately, because as people that go to jail in California, white people, have found out, it doesn't matter how liberal you are on the outside, once you get in the prison system of California, you had better join the Aryan Nation, or the Aryan Brotherhood, or whatever they call it over there, because that's the only game in town for you. They're not going to let you join some Mexican gang or some black gang. Your white skin disqualifies you from having any type of solidarity with them. You're going to have to fight.
Yeah, and to illustrate Keith's point is that you could be a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, a cultural Marxist as long as the day is, but when you go into jail and everything gets stripped down raw, yeah, you're going to have to go over with the jackbooted thugs. That's the and the people you are out fighting for on the outside are going to put you into that class. It's a class we certainly don't want to be in, but that's the reality of it when it's stripped down raw. And let's face it, prison rules are the rules of cultural Marxism.
See, like we've said before on this show, when the mob breaks into your house with machetes drawn like they're doing in South Africa and Zimbabwe, they're not going to ask you whether you're a liberal or a conservative. They're not going to ask you whether you contributed to the United Negro College Fund or are a member of the NAACP or not. They operate on a much more elementary basis. And all of these people that are modeling all these PDPs will find out the truth of the observation that when the race war ultimately breaks out, you don't have to worry about what side you're on. The other side will tell you. And as a result, these people are driving us over the cliff as a group. They're selling out your patrimony and our mine, the best, most prosperous nation ever, to try to create a utopian society. They will fail in creating this utopian society, and they're going to destroy the best last hope of mankind along with it if we allow them to. So basically, we need to save these elites from themselves. We need to insist that white elites show solidarity with the whites who are poor, working class, middle class, just like blacks insist upon it, just like Asians insist upon it, just like Hispanics insist upon it, James.
All right, Keith, I know you've covered this a little bit. We only have a couple of minutes left in this hour, which, of course, will conclude your time with us this evening. Recap, in fact, 2 minutes as we stand right now. Recap the practical advice people can take from this article going forward, how they can apply it in their daily lives against the people who are seeking to sell them out to the false gods of cultural Marxism.
First, get out of any church whose primary focus is doing good deeds in the ghetto. They've embraced the social gospel, and they've replaced the real gospel with the social gospel. They've replaced the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with the gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Then you need to point out what hypocrites people like the Tuohys, this Bill Courtney, Sandy Wilson, all these other people, you know, he could name all sorts of them, but any of these public display of piety people are. They're frauds and phonies. They don't live what they preach to everyone else or the natural consequences of it. And what they're doing is they're trading other people's opportunities away in order to gain status for themselves. That's despicable. That's theft. You know, if you steal a cabbage from the grocery store, that's theft, and everybody recognizes it. How much greater a theft is it to steal somebody's career, to steal somebody's life, to steal somebody's chances for prosperity from them. That's what affirmative action does. That's what all of these white elites that are mentoring and tutoring and providing all these goodies for non-whites, that's what they're doing to whites in the working class who are poor and who are middle class. That's what's happening. Their opportunities and the future of their children and grandchildren and their own future, if they're starting a career, is being dealt away. I suffered from affirmative action. I know it. My entire career was diminished as a result of it. A lot of white people stick their heads in the sand and don't face up to that, but that's what's happened. It's time to start fighting back. It's time to start calling these people the phonies that they are. That's the way to do it. Don't go to these movies. Don't support them. Be as resistant to them as the black community would if there was a black guy doing the same thing on there to them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Alexander, everybody, give him a big round of applause. I'm James Edwards. I'll be back with you for two more hours. Don't go anywhere unless you're joining us in the CFCC.org chat. We'll be back. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.